Well, do you know that I have been called a pathological monster liar and a coward who's trying to incite violence against the gay and lesbian community? Oh, you'll hear it firsthand today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, last week I was able to have a radio Skype debate with a gay activist who's made some pretty severe accusations against me. I, on my part, have said that his rhetoric is unhealthy and unnecessarily inflammatory. We're going to play clips from that debate for you on the air today and interact with it and tell you about some very interesting reactions to it. Here's the number to call if you'd like to weigh in, if you have comments to make, if you agree with me, or if you agree with the gentleman I was debating, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. In fact, if you'll go to the Line of Fire site, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, we'll be posting momentarily the YouTube where you can watch the debate that we're talking about. It was done via Skype. And my Skype connection was not quite as strong, so here and there it cuts out, but it's totally clear you'll be able to watch. And it's just kind of interesting to watch the participants. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get into that, and trust me, it's going to be very, very fascinating, enlightening listening for you, and we'll comment on things at length. Before we get into that, I want to make a few comments about what's happening in Charlotte right now. I said last week that I had virtually no comments to make on the Republican National Conference as Mitt Romney was proclaimed as the presidential candidate. My only comment really was talk is cheap. Anyone can have a good conference. You expect both the Democrats and the Republicans to have powerful conferences with powerful speakers and to make many emotional appeals and other appeals. Let's see what actually happens. Let's see who these people really are. Let's see what unfolds in the coming weeks ahead. I do want to make a couple of comments, though, with regard to some real strong concerns in the Democratic National Committee platform. Now that these things are all official and released, these are serious concerns. I'll talk about this a bit more tomorrow in terms of Jerusalem, but it's been pretty standard. 2008, Republicans, Democrats both declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That remains in the Republican platform, although to be candid, since Congress voted to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, because otherwise it was Tel Aviv that was recognized, and that's where the embassies are for almost all the nations in Tel Aviv, even though Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. The government, it doesn't matter who's been in power, Democrat, Republican, they've said, yeah, we recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, but then nothing's done. The embassy's never moved. So let's be candid about that. Neither party has acted on that for some years now, Republican or Democrat. However, the statement that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, 100% has been removed from the Democratic National Platform. That is a cause for real concern. A 2008, the statement was, Jerusalem is and will remain the capital of Israel. That line is completely missing. Also, not only has same-sex so-called marriage been flatly, plainly endorsed and celebrated by the Democrats and part of the platform, but the pro-abortion platform is extremely strong. It's unbelievably strong. It is basically abortion on demand without exception. It doesn't even mention cases like late-term abortion or if a child, there's an attempt to abort and the child is born alive. It doesn't even mention those. It's extreme, and it's abortion with taxpayer money. Those things are terribly grievous. By the way, the Republican platform on this was tremendously strong, the exact opposite. What actually plays out is another question, but this is what's being stated. All right, back with the debate. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast. You're going to hear some very hostile words from a gentleman named Wayne Besson. He is a gay activist, a Jewish man. A few years back, we had some very cordial face-to-face interaction, and then I challenged him on some things he had written at a public event in Michigan. I was asked to be there by Focus on the Family when the university refused to have anyone on the other side participating in this event, even though it's a state-funded university. I was there. I challenged him on some points. We then talked afterwards, and I continued to challenge him. So we interacted then. It was not on the cordial level the first time. Since that time, he's written a number of articles attacking me very strongly. And recently, I've said that his rhetoric is unhelpful. And although I categorically said that he is not in any way responsible for the shooting that took place at the Family Research Council a few weeks back, I said that this type of rhetoric is unhelpful. David Pakman, who's certainly very much in line with homosexual activist views, invited me onto his broadcast to have interaction debate with Wayne. So I'm so glad to have that opportunity. I'm going to play the first couple of clips and then comment on them afterwards. But I want to say this. Don't get mad at Wayne. Don't get an attitude of hostility towards him. He is passionate and he is sincere. You say, oh, I think he's lying through his teeth. I believe he believes what he's saying. All right? And I pray for him to come to know the transforming love of God the same way I did 41 years ago. Of course, the last thing he wants is my prayers and your prayers, but hey, how many of us were in that exact same situation? So, Joey, let's begin.
Okay, joining me today are Wayne Besson, Executive Director of Truth Wins Out at truthwinsout.org, and also Dr. Michael Brown, host of the nationally syndicated daily talk program, The Line of Fire, and author of A Queer Thing Happened to America, as well as 20 other books. Now, I want to start, I think the best order to do this in, since the pitch I received included a criticism of Wayne Besson from Dr. Brown, would be first to go to Dr. Brown to have him explain to us exactly what is his criticism of Wayne Besson in terms of, as it relates to the Family Research Council shooting. So, Dr. Brown, let me go to you first.
Sure. Thanks, David. First, I'd just like to apologize to you and your viewers for cutting our last interview short. It was getting close to my own radio soundcheck time, and I didn't think your questions were serious, so that was my fault. It was unprofessional, and I apologize for cutting that short. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to do that. As far as Wayne, I don't question his passion, his sincerity for the cause, but what concerns me is this, and in no way am I saying he's responsible for the shooting at FRC, God forbid, but what concerns me is this: when he writes that the people at FRC loathe homosexuals, or when after my group last year gives out 2,500 bottles of water saying Jesus loves you at a gay pride event here in Charlotte, that he writes about me that I'm a pathological monster trying to incite violence against LGBT people and many other things like that, I feel that unnecessarily inflames things. This past Sunday, protesters came to our church, my home church, where they hear me preach and teach, and they left after a little while saying, you guys don't deserve a protest, you're too loving. And I'm having dinner with the main protester next week who said he met with absolutely perfect love. So I find this kind of rhetoric to be hurtful, destructive, and I think we can talk through our differences and have our profound differences without calling people pathological monsters who are trying to incite violence against the gay and lesbian community. I would die for the gay and lesbian community rather than incite violence. All right, now, just so you know, some of the things that Wayne has previously written about me, he said that my game is trying to incite followers to possible violence against LGBT people, saying that while innocently maintaining that he loves homosexuals and simply wants them to meet his militant and perverted version of God, he calls me, this is in one article, a slick dude, a sick and cynical person, someone with a messiah complex who's a diabolical individual who aims to manipulate impressionable followers to launch some sort of holy war, noting, however, that I'm, quote, too much of a coward to start the war myself. even confessed this, quote, "I do strongly believe to my core that Brown's ultimate goal is to create the conditions for a nasty physical clash. Indeed," quote, "the madman fully understands that he only has to create a hostile climate to inflame the most unstable of his thugs, and they will eventually provoke the type of confrontation that this pathological monster deeply desires." He even weighed in the comments section to his own article, calling me an egomaniac, and other commenters followed in his footsteps with posts like these: "I would not be surprised if Mein Kampf were to be found on his nightstand," meaning mine. So this is what we're dealing with. Again, this is why we pray for the opening of eyes and for the compassion of God to be poured out. This now is the first response. We'll play the whole debate over the course of the broadcast today. This now is the first response from Wayne Besson.
Okay, Wayne, let me go to you. Feel free to respond to both Dr. Brown's claims about you, and if you want, defend why you think he is a pathological liar, whatever it is you said.
Not only is he a pathological monster, he's also a coward, because what he does is he incites people to violence, in my view. Just look at his rhetoric. He's got a talk show called The Line of Fire. His online magazine is The Voice of Revolution. And he runs the Fire School of Ministry, and the goal of that is to raise up a holy army of uncompromising, spirit-filled radicals who will shake an entire generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ by life or death. I think it's this combination of militaristic language and the demonizing of a minority that sparked my view of Mr. Brown. I also believe he comes across here as very kind and nice, but again, it's a fraud. What he's trying to do is come across as somebody reasonable and rational rather than the extremist that he is. What he's not telling you is that he went to Charlotte Pride, for example, with the intent of basically, as he calls, of ending gay rights. And that's what, and teaming up with Louis Engle, one of the most radical clerics in this nation, who went to Uganda to promote the anti-homosexuality bill, which could lead to the death of gay people. That's what he's not telling you. These are some of the, let me just read a couple of his comments about what he was doing at Charlotte Pride. He said he was there to, because of destructive goals of gay activism. He said, "It stops here in Charlotte." Well, what does that mean? What do you intend to do, Mr. Brown? How are you going to stop the rights and the acceptance of gay people, which is now at 70% for people 18 to 30, without maybe some of your more militaristic values that you're whitewashing and sugarcoating here?
Okay, that's those are his initial comments. Now, I'm curious to know this. If you've been listening to me regularly for, let's say, at least a few months, if not for a year or longer, if you've been listening to me regularly, what's your take on that? Are you hearing me? I mean, some of you listen on a regular basis. Some of you get the podcast and listen to both hours every day. If you're listening to me on a regular basis, if you're hearing me talk often on Wednesdays, where we focus on the world, moral and cultural issues, you're hearing me talk on a regular basis about concerns I have with gay activism. If you've read books that I've written, if you read A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you read articles I've written on Town Hall on a regular basis. So in other words, you're not just getting a soundbite. You're hearing me on a regular basis. You're finding out who I really am. You're watching what we promote. Is that what you're hearing? Am I inciting you towards acts of violence against the gay and lesbian community? Am I inciting you to hatred against the gay and lesbian community? Am I planting seeds in your heart and mind, some subtle plot to destroy other people's lives? Oh, without question, as I'll say later in the debate with Wayne, without question, I do believe that the goals of gay activism are destructive to religious liberty, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and not in the best interest of families. Yes, I believe that. Just as Wayne and gay activists believe that my conservative biblical views are destructive to their cause. That's fine. But what does that have to do with inciting violence? What does that have to do with provoking people to acts of hatred? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me take a quick call. David in Vienna, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing, Doc?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Yeah, listen, buddy, I've been listening to you for a while, and I respect that you want to stand up and be counted, and I realize that you're saving souls and everything else, and that's your objective. But, you know, I was wondering on the security part of it now, that you're going to have a lot of hate mongers out after you now. Have you beefed up your security to protect yourself or done anything, you know, to make sure that you're going to be safe? Because, you know, you got to know that there's going to be a big can of worms that are going to be open, and there's a lot of extremists out there that might try to silence you, you know, and I hope that doesn't happen, because I got a lot of respect for you, and I do agree with what you say, but, you know, you got to wonder, you know, if you're going to be safe on the other end of this.
Got it. Hey, David, I'm going to reply to that on the other side of the break. Thanks for the call and the good words, but in short, I'm certainly not worried about someone like Wayne coming after me. You got crazies on every side. You got crazies in churches. You got crazies in the gay community. You got crazies everywhere. But it's a good question to ask. I will respond when we come back. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. We are playing excerpts of my debate last week on Skype and radio with Wayne Besson, who is a gay activist who heads up Truth Wins Out. I would say he's best known for opposing the idea that there's such a thing as ex-gay, or that people can change from homosexual to heterosexual. And he's very passionate about that. And in the clip that we just played from Wayne, he reiterated that he believes I'm, quote, a pathological monster. I mean, those are strong words. I'm not offended in the least. I expect to be maligned. I expect to be wrongly judged and falsely accused as a follower of Jesus, standing up for what's right. We sign up for that at the beginning. Jesus said, if the master of the house, speaking of himself, has been called Beelzebub, the devil himself, what's going to be said of the servants of his household? So calling a pathological monster, he's written that. He, rather than retreating and saying that's overstated, he restated that and then calls me a coward. And his view is that I'm inciting violence, but I'm too cowardly to do it myself, which is basically like saying that he's trying to call me out in a fist fight, but then he's afraid to actually do it. No, the thing doesn't exist. The thing doesn't exist. It's a figment of his imagination based on a complete misinterpretation of selected words and phrases. But as to the question from the last caller, am I doing more about personal security? I don't travel with personal security. I have done some lectures and talks recently in a number of places where it was required. For example, last year, at the University of Central Florida, when I debated Professor Eric Small from another university on same-sex marriage, should it be legal, he proposed the topic for the debate. The only way that the campus allowed us to proceed was with four armed policemen there, but I had no hint that there was any danger there. I've done some other talks where security has been required. They required us to hire police to be there. When I did talks on homosexuality, the church and society, in 2007 at the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center here in Charlotte. So we've had those things happen, and I've never felt that there was going to be any violence towards me. This past year, so just this year, we took off from having a major presence at the Gay Pride event in Charlotte. It's been kind of every other year we've had a more major presence there. Our whole focus this year was first on prayer for the marriage amendment in May, and then for the event that we had the following weekend, Charlotte 714, that I've reported about, where thousands of believers came together to repent of our sins and cry out to God for mercy. God willing, we'll be there with a large presence next year at the Gay Pride event, with a peaceful presence, but to share our differences in love. And I fully plan on just walking among the people. I know that some will be incited to hatred towards me because of stands we've taken, and because of ugly things that others have written and said about me. But as far as personal safety concerns, I feel quite secure and safe. I don't feel right now that anything is going beyond just rhetoric. But, of course, we use wisdom. All right, let me play for you my response to Wayne, then we'll go back to the calls. This is my first response to Wayne's accusations.
Let's pause there, because otherwise we'll forget all the let's go one by one. Dr. Brown, are you okay with any kind of militaristic action to prevent the furthering of gay rights, as Wayne alleges?
God forbid. It's so ironic that Wayne sits in front of a sign that says Truth Wins Out, and either Everything he said was misinformation, lies, misrepresentation. First, I never knew that Fire School of Ministry, calling something Fire, Fellowship for International Revival and Evangelism, was militaristic. Secondly, Jesus requires us to take up the cross and follow him. In many parts of the world where our missionaries serve, their lives are threatened. Persecution against Christians is very real. That statement about our school mission came years before I ever even got engaged in homosexual activism. We have friends working in the Hindu world, Muslim world, dangerous communist places, and yes, their lives are sometimes threatened. Our whole message, if you actually read my books and listened, is put down the sword of violence and hatred. The Jesus Revolution, as I say daily on my radio show, is one that overcomes hatred with love, one that overcomes deception with truth. That's why for years I said, Wayne, let's talk. Let's have public dialogue. That remains my posture. All you can say is that I'm lying, candy coating. The fact is, this is who we really are. So what do we do? And by the way, Lou Engel did not go to Uganda to promote the bill. That's also a misconception. What did Lou do? We prayed across the street from the gay pride event, about 500 people, and got on our knees and repented of our sins. We got up and publicly apologized to the gay and lesbian community. Wayne, this is documented. This is all clearly seen. No one has ever heard me utter a word of hate or violence against the gay community. Sadly, you are inciting people with lies and misinformation about me. And if I was not a public figure, they would actually be libelous. They are that seriously wrong, Wayne. It's a fact.
All right,
jump in here. You've listened to me, some of you, for years, some of you for months. Again, some of you have read a lot of what I've written. What do you think of my response? Not meaning how did I do. Do you believe that I'm just come up with this nice approach and soft and loving to candy coat the hatred and the desires to do violence to gay and lesbian people? Or you say, hey, I'm listening to you, and what I get is you differ with the goals, but you love the people. 866-34-TRUTH. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. I welcome different opinions here. AJ in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, I've been listening to you for over a year, and I've always heard you speak with compassion for, you know, the LGBT community and always bringing the gospel to them, as, you know, we're required to do. You're not like the so-called Christians in Kansas City, you know, who hold the messages up, fags are going to hell. You don't do none of that. You practice what the Bible tells you to show compassion. And it's always weird how the LGBT community is always preaching that we need to, you know, respect everybody and accept, and yet they won't accept our Christianity, but they want to be part of it when they get into marriage. Because just recently I found out, isn't marriage was created in the Bible in biblical times.
And AJ,
so why do they want to be part of?
Just to jump in, that's an interesting question about marriage, and maybe we can come back to that later. Obviously, they'd say we love each other and we want to be recognized the same way as any other couple, but it's an interesting question in terms of the history of gay activism and marriage. But AJ, thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it. Excuse me, and I'm glad that's what you hear from me as you've been listening for many months. All right, friends, we've got a lot more to come. I want to encourage you. You can keep listening on the air, online, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Our friends listening on WAVA-FM, remember that later today at 6 o'clock, is it 5 or 6? You can check on WAVA-AM. You can listen to the entire first hour. Friends, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the special offer to get Dr. William Lane Craig's book, On Guard. Fabulous apologist. We had him on the air with us yesterday. It'll really help you answer the difficult questions. You can get the book plus the CD of yesterday's interview, just $22, postage paid. But call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We are playing clips in entirety, ultimately, for the whole debate, but playing clips from my debate last week with Wayne Besson of Truth Wins Out, a gay activist who has called me a pathological monster and who has said that he believes to the core of his being that I want to basically set in motion a nasty physical clash between Christians and the LGBT community. And this, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want you to hear what Wayne says in response to what I said in my last rebuttal to his comments. I made clear that he's taking things out of context or twisting or misrepresenting. So even if something is in context, it's being misrepresented to have another meaning. As if I said, listen, we've got to get involved in the war on poverty, that meant let's kill poor people. Or that talking about the culture wars meant killing people you differ with. That's the type of gross and serious misrepresentation that I bring to attention simply because it can hurt others. And look, you know my heart. And tell me if you differ with me, if you've listened to me. But you know my heart. We can have our differences, but we can have them in a civil manner. We're still fellow human beings, loved by God. And Jesus shed the same blood for heterosexual and homosexual. And we're going to have to figure out how to live side by side in the midst of our conflicts. If I had a gay neighbor, I'd ask that person over for dinner and do what I could to be a good, fine neighbor and talk honestly about our differences if they came up. And if he voted one way on something and I voted the other way, what are we going to do, scream and yell at each other or talk to each other? So here is Wayne's response to me.
Well, tell you what, pal, why don't you sue me? Because you're a liar, and I'm calling you a liar, and if you think you can win in court, take me. Let me tell you something. That's why people don't want to debate you, because you flat out don't tell the truth. You sit up there and you distort what you say and you hope people don't do the fact checking. But we're going to do a little fact checking here. Here's a few more things you've said.
Do the fact checking. I've written 22 books. Do the fact checking, Wayne.
Other wonderful. Let me finish. I let you misinform people. You said that you went to the Exodus Conference in 2007 to what you called fight a pitched attack from hell. You urged the people there to have a revolutionary mentality, and you told them life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. And here's a few of the things that you said going into Charlotte Pride. Again, you said that the whole thing was about the destructive goals of gay activism. It stops here in Charlotte. You absolutely humiliated and insulted transgender people, calling them their inner tranny. You talked about them surgically mutilating themselves. You said that you were there because you don't think people should celebrate the pain of sex and brokenness, and you support ex-gay ministries. You said people were not whole and they were suffering from brokenness. And then you lied and tried to incite your followers in their intimidating red shirts, which is very rude of you to go to Pride with 500 people to intimidate people. And you said that, and you incited them and inflamed them by telling that we were trying to put conservative Christians in the closet. If that's not insightful language combined with your militaristic language, I don't know what is. Why don't you just be honest and tell the truth about what your goals are rather than mixing militaristic language with demonizing a minority? And in particular, your insulting of transgender people is not only obnoxious and offensive, but I just think it's morally bereft of even any kind of decency whatsoever.
So, yeah. Dr. Brown, instead of, I would, before you go into it, Are the quotes that Wayne has attributed to you, are those accurate quotes? Do you deny that you said those things?
All right, so we'll come back with my response. I'll get to your calls. If you want to watch this on YouTube, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, and you will see the link to the YouTube debate. Hey, friends, we overcome lies with truth. We overcome hatred with love. We overcome darkness with light. To whatever extent we're being misrepresented, how do we overcome it? By being who we are and telling the truth. It's simple.
It's the line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We'll play my response to Wayne, and then Wayne gets in the last word because it was an equal exchange. But before we do that, I want to read this to you. These were the terms of engagement that we have used for years whenever we've had a crowd of people come together and reach out at these gay pride events or simply be a presence at the gay pride events and say, you're in our city making a public statement. We're in our city making a public statement as well, but one that is based on love and not hatred. Yes, we differ. We do not affirm a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. We do not affirm that it's best for a kid to have no mom or to have no dad. We affirm that it's better for someone who identifies as transgender and who's struggling with gender identity to be helped from the inside out rather than to go through sex change surgery. Yes, it doesn't mean we're haters. What does that have to do with hate? Look, I affirm that Jewish people need Jesus to be saved. Does that mean that I hate Jews? I affirm that Muslims need Jesus to be saved. Does that mean I hate Muslims because I say they're lost without Jesus? The whole world is lost without Jesus. Does that mean I hate the whole world? You say, well, I feel like you hate me. Well, I don't. I feel like you hate me. I mean, that's not the issue here. All right? 866-34-TRUTH. But on a number of occasions, we've had crowds varying from 125 to 500. Many of them wearing red shirts. Why red shirts? Well, they stood out. Blood of Jesus, some thought. Yeah, but they stood out. That's why we had a message on. Interestingly, as Wayne kept attacking me for the red shirts, he was wearing a red shirt during the debate. I just failed to notice that. But we've given these out at every public event with Gay Pride where we've had numbers of people that we're going to put on the red shirt. That means they were identifying with us, and on some level, we were responsible for them. This is what we handed out, and everyone had to sign this. Terms of engagement. Number one, I will not engage in hate speech, name-calling, or angry rhetoric. Number two, I will speak the truth in love. Number three, I will seek to befriend those who oppose me. Number four, I will seek to overcome bad attitudes with good attitudes. Number five, I will seek to be a living example of Jesus. Number six, I will not compromise biblical standards or convictions. Number seven, I will not violate the law. And then on the bottom it says, remember, our battle is not with people but with spiritual forces. Remember, we are called to bless those who curse us. Remember, we reach out to homosexuals with compassion and sensitivity. We resist their agenda with courage and strength. Remember, God had mercy on us when we were in darkness, calling us to repentance when we had no interest in him at all. Let us extend the same grace to others. Remember, our compassion must be louder than our confrontation. This is who we are. This is not some fake document we put out to make us look good. This is who we are. This is what we do. And if you want to call us hateful because we do not affirm most of the goals of so-called gay rights or many of the goals of so-called gay rights, which I would say is gay activism, they would say it's gay rights. I understand the perspective. If you want to call me hateful because of that, that's your prerogative. There's not an ounce of hate in me over these things or towards any individual. And in fact, the more I've interacted over the years, the more love I've had develop in my heart for the gay and lesbian community. As I've sat and listened to stories and read stories, often I'm broken down in tears. Why? Because it's painful to hear the pain that gay and lesbians have gone through. And it's painful for me to know that they look at me as someone causing pain by rejecting what they perceive as who they are to the core of their being. I don't rejoice in that. I don't glory in that. That's painful to hear. Nonetheless, I believe that the goals of gay activism are ultimately, as I've said before, a tremendous threat to religious liberty, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and ultimately not best for the family, not best for individuals, not best for the nation. And yes, because of my biblically based beliefs and other social concerns, I take these stands. What does that have to do with inciting violence against people when everything you say renounces it? When week in, week out, we tell you when we say Jesus Revolution, we always say not as the world. conducts revolution, not anger, not hatred, not intimidation, but overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. You hear that day and night. Why do we talk about revolution? Because Jesus is a revolutionary. He comes to bring radical change, and he wants to touch us so we can bring radical change to our society. 866-34-TRUTH. Ron in Silver Spring, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, doctor. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay, listen, if words mean, I've observed you for decades, mister. You are standing in reality. I'm not going to call that man Wayne names. I'm not, no ad hominem remarks, but if words mean anything, if they mean anything, that man is an absolute liar, though he's sincere. Sincere as the prophets of Baal. You, Mike, are standing in the gap against the violence, which is inevitable, and even more inevitable when people like you, who are doing everything you can to break down barriers, are called hateful. Absolute lies. I'm not equipped and anointed at the moment, but I can explain. Violence is inevitable. The violence, and it's being brought on by this militant movement. And I'm incompetent to do it. I'm just saying, Mike. You're standing in the gap against. You're a true peacemaker, doing everything you can possibly to. And apologizing for people that aren't even Christians. You know, just I can't, Mike. I'm preaching to the choir. Anyway, that's it.
All right. Hey, Ray, thanks. And look, I certainly hope that militant gay activism does not lead to violence. I certainly hope that's the case. Anyone can be violent. Any group of people, whoever they are, if they are not, there are groups of people with crazies. Every group, fundamentalist Christians, atheists, homosexuals, heterosexuals, irreligious, religious, Muslim, Hindu, doesn't matter. Human beings can do crazy things. But I'm committed to say, in the midst of our profound differences, let us get to know each other and talk these things through. How can it hurt? That's what I've asked for you, is how can it hurt if we sit down side by side and talk? How can it hurt if we sit down over a meal? I say, all right, tell me your story so I can better understand your perspective. And then let me tell you where I'm coming from. One long flight I've often mentioned because of the nature of the interaction I had with a gay flight attendant that was off duty and flying to Rome to meet his partner. We talked for hours, but he was really commending two gay men with, looked like three teenage boys. Were they adopted from previous marriages? We don't know, but they were flying all the way up front in first class, not just business class overseas, but first class. And he said, you know, here you have this gay couple and it looks like they're doing well. They're all up there in first class. They've got their boys there, and they're obviously, you know, a solid couple traveling with their kids and so on. He had been observing them for a while at the airport. And I said, I don't doubt that they're loving and devoted, but it concerns me that these kids don't have a mom, that these kids are guaranteed not to have a mom. That's what concerns me. He goes, oh, I never thought of that. I found that very interesting that he never actually thought of that, even though that's one of the main issues we have with so-called same-sex marriage, that it doesn't provide the elements of marriage that have always been essential to marriage. Marriage has never just been two people. Marriage has been the union of a man and woman for many reasons. 866-34-TRUTH. James in Annandale, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I had three quick comments. The first is that I disagree with you on a lot of main issues, not what you're talking about today. The second is that basically, from what I've seen, nothing you said today indicates violence or anything like that, just based on the quotes. The third thing I wanted to say was basically that I watched a YouTube video, and it was of a professor, a genetics professor, talking about the genetic basis for homosexuality. And basically, these gay activists came in and started shouting him down while he was just giving a presentation based on genetic science. And I don't know whether it was pro, biological origin or against it, but the point is that this campus group came in and started shouting him down to the point where he couldn't talk. So I think a lot of this on the gay agenda side is anti-free speech is basically my point.
Yes, I, James, thanks for the comments. I would absolutely reaffirm what you said in terms of being anti-free speech. In other words, if my position is now going to be equated with Nazism and the Ku Klux Klan, and I'm now going to be painted as a bigot speaking discriminatory and hateful words against a minority or demonizing a minority, in Wayne's words, if that's the case, if I simply say, you know, according to scripture and my beliefs, a man shouldn't marry a man, a woman shouldn't marry a woman, and I don't want those things taught in school to kids, if that's not going to be branded a certain way and there's an attempt to silence it, absolutely, there is an attack on free speech. That's why I say many of the goals of gay activism are destructive.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. In the second hour, which you can listen to live online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. In the second hour, I'm actually going to go point for point to a number of the charges Wayne raised and just respond in more detail. He posted a response. Someone sent me a link. Is it the day after the debate, day of the debate? I'm not sure. Where he said he spoke everything in context and I'm the liar here and he sought to back it up. Just going to clarify any questions that exist. Again, my question for you, if you listen to me regularly, what type of feelings get stirred in your own hearts towards gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified people? As you listen to me, what attitudes are stirred up in you? And is there anything that in any way gives you the impression that I feel that we should fight the goals of gay activism with violence, or that violence against the gay and lesbian community is justified? If you listen to me regularly, you think I've got a blind spot here, by all means, give us a call. Hey, I've written enough to know that if you take quotes in context, I'm glad to stand on anything I've written. Take it in context, what I've said in context, I'm very happy to stand with it. 866-34-TRUTH. Ellis in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Ellis, you're on the air.
Yep. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
God bless you, man. You know, I never heard you before, I'll be honest with you.
Hey, how'd you tune in today?
I walked in and turned it on, and I just heard it, and I've been reading the Bible, Philippians 3:18, and God's been talking to me all day about it.
Really?
Because I used to live the lifestyle, practice it, engaged in it. I know what it is to be deceived. I know what it is to live that life.
You're talking about homosexuality?
Absolutely, 100%, and then some.
How many years did you consider yourself gay?
I started probably when I was a teenager, maybe 14, 13. Uh-huh. My father led me into that path by taking me to a place with some men that opened the door. And then from there on, I just started to be picked up. Or I was curious a lot, and I was lonely and empty, had no love, and my father wasn't really there for me. But it was his door opening and my searching for love, searching for hope, searching for truth. I think truth was it. And then I was, you know, I didn't know how to control my sexual appetite. You know, that was my desire when I was young because, you know, nobody was teaching me. My father was an atheist, a racist, a bigot. He was turning me into a Ku Klux Klan, a Nazi by the time I hit 9 or 10, 11 years old. So I had no teaching. And that's what the problem is. A lot of fathers and mothers, we're talking about millions, the father and mother never read the Bible to their babies, never take them to church, but they introduce them to a good education, which I can say honestly had a great career. I think I can honestly say I enjoyed financial gain, yeah, you know, but none of those things suffice. And the complacency and the teaching of this world system caught me. And the day that you know, I think the day I don't feel angry or upset about my father's behavior or his practices. You know, that was his father's practices. Mm. So it just passed on from generation to generation.
So Ellis, how many years were you living in homosexuality?
We're talking, I'm 49 now, so let's just give it a good 30-something, man, 30s.
And then you came to know the Lord in a personal way?
Absolutely. What it was is that I was looking for truth and love. And the truth was that God was showing me that he loved me and that he wanted to fill the emptiness and the void in my life that I so desperately needed. And I thought that through illicit sex or immoral sex or all kinds of practices of sex was fulfilling. Because when you're a teenager, man, all you want to do is enjoy yourself. You just want to have a good time. And really, you're really in control when no one's in control. I mean, when my father wasn't there, all the other men were. When my mother wasn't there, all the other men were. And then I had women in my life, young girlfriends. But, you know, I was so confused. I was misled. You know, over 1,000 verses in the Bible tell you about certain kinds of behaviors and practices. I had to find this out way too late. And even when I started to find out, I was still struggling with the life. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, but Ellis, just to jump in, because we're coming towards the end of the break here. Obviously, God's worked in your life and brought about positive change. And however you identified yourselves sexually before, it's nice to know that you find wholeness in Jesus. And look, friends, everybody's story is different. Everybody's story is different. But there are many, just like Ellis, some of you are listening right now. And you're looking for truth, you're looking for love, and you're looking in the wrong places, be it in heterosexual or homosexual relations, be it in all kinds of sexual promiscuity, whatever it is. The fact is, we find wholeness in the Lord. We find wholeness in Jesus. And the same one that transformed my life 41 years ago is ready to transform yours. If you're seeking, if you're struggling, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and just click contact. Hey, Ellis, may the Lord use you to bring help and healing and hope to many others. 866-34-TRUTH. All of you on hold, stay there. Please stay there. Your comments are important, and I want to bring you on in the next hour. We have a lot of resources that can be helpful to you in terms of how to stand, in terms of what's right and wrong, in terms of what Scripture says. Many of the resources are free on our website. So explore AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Coalition of Conscience. You can find statements as to why we do what we do based on Scripture. You can watch free videos that deal with these issues. And I'm just looking at some of the calls. One of the ladies that helped at a gay pride event in Charlotte, talking in terms of working with us, in terms of the peaceful nature of what we do. What we're provoking people to do is love unconditionally. What we're provoking people to do is stand up for what they believe is right and true, and to do it with love and compassion towards those who differ. And that's what we are committed to. Next hour, I'm going to go point for point through many of the charges that Wayne raised that I didn't get to sufficiently address, simply lack of time, which is why I kept saying, let's sit down and talk, or let's have a public two-hour debate with a neutral moderator in a neutral place. So we'll play more clips of the debate. You can watch it all by going to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you'll see a link to the debate so you can watch it firsthand. Friends, just a reminder that this week we have a wonderful resource with Dr. William Lane Craig, his very important book, On Guard, helping you to answer the difficult questions of the faith, plus the CD of yesterday's broadcast. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go to our online bookstore, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. It'll be the first thing that comes up. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, we don't retreat when we're falsely accused. We don't back down when people accuse us of things that are not true. We continue to persevere. We overcome false accusations by living out the truth, knowing that in the end, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Well, do you know that I have been called a pathological monster, a liar, and a coward who's trying to incite violence against the gay and lesbian community? Oh, you'll hear it firsthand today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome to a very important, informative, eye-opening broadcast today. You're going to hear some clips that may upset you. You may hear some clips that you strongly differ with. I want to encourage you, as you do, to develop an attitude of prayer, to develop an attitude that prays for those who oppose us. Oh, not because we're some super holy, wonderful saints, but because we're convinced that Jesus is the way. We're convinced that God's word is true. We're convinced that following God and His Word is the best thing we can do, not just for our lives, but for society. And therefore, we do it knowing that others will oppose and differ. That's just fine. We're going to overcome bad attitudes with good attitudes and overcome hostility with prayer. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to play clips for you from a debate I had with gay activist Wayne Besson, who accuses me publicly and has now retrenched himself in writing and verbally to say I'm a pathological monster and ultimately wanting to incite violence against the gay and lesbian community, even when we categorically said, God forbid that we would incite violence against anyone. And every quote that is being brought to allege that we're trying to do that is either ripped out of context or completely misrepresented, sometimes not even true. Terms are completely manufactured. 866-34-TRUTH. Here's my question for you. If you've listened to me for a period of time, some of you listening, I've been on your station for a good number of years now. If you've listened to me regularly, and often on a weekly basis, sometimes it won't happen for a few weeks, sometimes it can happen a couple times in a week, but often on a weekly basis, I'll address issues having to do with homosexual activism. I'll address concerns we have in terms of what's happening in the nation. You know, there's a case now of a man who murdered his wife and then in prison, prison for life, he began to identify as a woman. And now at taxpayer expense, he's going to get sex change surgery. That to me is wrong, dead wrong. I'm gravely concerned about this person's emotional and mental state for sure. But the idea that now taxpayer money is going to pay for sex change surgery, or the civil union in Brazil now recognizing civil union with three people, or gay activism taught in a mandatory way in schools throughout California with no ability to opt out, these things concern me, and I will talk about them. At the same time, my question to you is, what are you hearing from me? What's getting stirred in you? Is anger and hatred towards the homosexual community getting stirred in you? Is there a desire to do them violence? Or you're hearing something very different from me? Give me a call. Let me know. Be honest. If you participated in any of our God Has a Better Way events, which have had as many as 500 people involved, praying, interacting, handing out bottles of water, if you've been involved with any of those, tell me what the spirit was. Tell me what you heard beforehand. Tell me what you heard in private meetings preparing you for those events. 866-348-7884. We come back on the other side of the break. I want to take some calls, and I want to play some more clips. We'll dive right into the middle of this radio debate that was hosted by David Pakman. David would certainly be much more on Wayne's side, or completely on Wayne Besson's side as opposed to mine, but he was an absolutely fair moderator. The way things were posted on his website clearly painted a picture that I would not have painted and pointed in a certain direction, and even implied that I was saying that Wayne Besson was somehow responsible for the FRC shooting, which I categorically said, absolutely not, God forbid. Nonetheless, David was an absolutely fair moderator, and I commend him for that. We'll be back.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. We're playing excerpts from my debate last week with Wayne Besson, gay activist. I have said that his words accusing me of being a pathological monster who's trying to incite violence against the gay and lesbian community and on, that those words themselves are inflammatory and create an environment that can potentially lead to violence. I mean, if you think that's who I am and I come walking through the gay pride event, you think I'm there to stir up violence or we're going to try to create some physical clash or something like that, you may think, hey, I need to protect myself against this guy. If you understand, hey, we differ with you. We are fellow citizens in the same community. You're making a public statement. We're making a public statement. We differ with you. And we differ with you in Jesus' name, and we follow his principles. And if someone tried to hurt you, we'd stand between you and that person. Then it's going to be a whole different thing. They still may not like my presence, but that's a whole different thing. 866-34-TRUTH. So we're jumping in now about halfway through this debate. And I've now been accused of demonizing minority, being guilty of fraud, saying we're going to end gay rights in Charlotte. Does that imply some militaristic action? Working with Lou Engel, who allegedly went to Uganda to support the Uganda bill against homosexuality, which included the death penalty for certain things, and on. So I get to respond in part, but I'm going to break these down point by point and go through them later. Here is my response to the many charges that Wayne Besson has leveled against me. Percent out of context and twisted. I'll give you an example.
So hold on, they're out of, but you did say those words.
Oh, yeah. You have to understand what was said. For example, inner tranny, okay. I am quoting, hey Wayne, let me talk. The inner tranny quote, that was from curriculum put out by GLSEN that helped kids discover their inner tranny. And I quoted that to say that's outrageous to be done in elementary schools. That's a quote from gay activists. When I say life as it is worth living, the cause is worth dying for, I said, that's how revolutionaries think. What's the pitched hell against the pitched attack from hell? It's the attack to destroy gay and lesbian people. That's what I'm talking about. Everything is taken and twisted. Wayne, I wrote a whole book called Revolution with chapter after chapter talking about the example of Jesus, talking about lay down your life for the lost, lay down your life. Every human being is broken. You're broken. I'm broken. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we preach him. And to show up at a gay pride event is making a very public, loud statement in a community. And it's also a family day and it's doing other things. We are there as believers to say we love you and we differ. We handed out 2,500 bottles of water that said Jesus loves you. And we said not a single hateful word. We didn't stand and preach. We walked among the crowd, moms, dads, kids. You, Wayne, lie by calling them unstable thugs. You, Wayne, lie by saying I'm trying to incite people to violence. Every quote is either ripped out of context. Look, you can take the words of Jesus and rip them out of context. I'm quoting you in context. And sadly, rather than saying, you know, Mike, I've overstated things. It's damaging and insightful to say what I said, to say you're a pathological monster trying to incite violence against gay and lesbian people. You can call me whatever you want. But to say that I'm trying to incite violence is a bold-faced lie. And that's why the folks in my church that hear me preach and teach, when gay protesters came, met them with the love of God. That's why the chief protester's having dinner with me with his partner next week so we can talk face-to-face. That's why I've repeatedly said, Wayne, let's have public debate and dialogue. Let's put everything on the table. Let's set it up where we can take 2 hours face-to-face in a neutral setting with neutral moderators, because I have nothing to hide. I've written 22 books. Quote one thing in context that is inflammatory or destructive. Everything is based with compassion for all people, but we have profound differences. The only thing that is in context is, yes, I believe the goals of gay activism are destructive to marriage and family and religious liberty. And yes, I do believe there are gay activists who want to silence us, which is why GLAAD put out a list of 36 commentators last year. I was one of them, telling the media, do not have these people on. That to me is trying to silence the other side. You don't like it when a group came against you and tried to get Fox to take you off. The same's been done to me and others for a long time.
Let's give Wayne a
All right. So we'll get Wayne's response to that a little later in the broadcast, but I want to go to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Especially if you've listened to me for a while, what's your take? Do you agree with Wayne's charges, or do you feel that he's completely misrepresenting things, taking things out of context, as I have said quite plainly to him? Daniel in Reno, Nevada, thanks for holding over from the last hour. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I wanted to know if, now see, I was your age when Anita Bryant was recruited into the same fray.
Ah, way back when, yep.
Yeah. I noticed that Billy Graham, the revivalist, didn't join in the fray in that way, and I just wondered, is that because he had a school and following the young people, and he didn't want to lead them into this fray that's really unwinnable?
Well, Daniel, it's an excellent question to ask. The broader question of, shouldn't we just be out there winning people to Jesus and feeding the poor and those kind of things? Why get involved in such a difficult, emotionally charged, easily misunderstood cultural battle, and one that will make people feel that you hate them and reject them? First thing is, I believe that part of us, part of our calling is to stand up for what's right. And if we do see activism from any corner going in a direction that we feel is destructive to society or destructive to the aims of the gospel, then it is part of our calling to stand up. Now, Billy Graham more recently made plain that he was encouraging Christians in North Carolina to vote for the marriage amendment this year that would put in the Constitution of North Carolina that marriage is exclusively the union of a man and a woman. So Dr. Graham did feel it was time to stand and said he never dreamed he would see these things happen. So there's a time and place for everything. For the first, 30-plus years of my ministry, I never addressed these things at all. Just in passing, you can look at books that I've written through 2010 and pull out every word having to do with homosexuality or gay activism, and I doubt it will fill one page out of 19 books. But I became burdened and concerned when I saw things that were happening in Charlotte, when I saw some of the public lewd displays in a public park right here in our city with children present, when I began to see how major companies were backing goals that I felt were actually destructive and negative, when I began to see more and more of what was happening in the schools. Look, there's a preschool right here in Charlotte where the teacher is not allowed to address the children as boys and girls because that would be making a gender distinction. I have a colleague who has been dismissed twice from speaking jobs he had, lecturing for companies on leadership principles completely unrelated to the Bible in terms of using scripture or his faith. But he was dismissed by one, and then another said, we're canceling the engagement, the Bank of America and Cisco Enterprises, major companies, because he had written a book that opposed redefining marriage, and therefore he was booted from these companies from doing talks for them. I see these things happening, and God burdened me. I feel called by the Lord to deal with this. Someone can think I'm a religious fanatic. That's fine. I feel called by the Lord to reach out to gay and lesbian people with compassion, which I do every opportunity I have in private interaction, and to resist gay activism with courage. I'm not convinced that, quote, the battle is over and can't be won. I do believe, though, that regardless of what happens, it's my responsibility to stand up as a leader and do what's right and to be a witness. I don't want my kids.
I agree with you that the battle can be won one-on-one, but not on the group militant kind of dialogue and debate, public, all of that. One-on-one.
Well, Daniel, what should we do when things come to the public square?
Do what Jesus did.
What's that? Well, he addressed things publicly and openly. He rebuked those he differed with. He exposed what he felt was hypocrisy.
He said, I'm going to preach the gospel to the poor. He said he went into the highway, and he told us to go into the highways and byways, compel them to come in.
All right, so we're doing that, what did he do? What did he do with those things?
Is reaching into their lives.
But Daniel, what? So he never had confrontation? He never confronted things he felt.
We had a conversation with Herod, and he says, "Tell that fox, I'm not going
to." So the religious leaders. All right, Daniel. I don't think you're listening. I agree with every passage you're quoting, but what about the rest of the New Testament? What about Jesus telling us, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world"? What about Jesus when he saw religious hypocrisy confronting it, and all of Matthew 23 is seven woes pronounced by Jesus against religious hypocrites? Are we wrong to address those things? I've written a whole book called Revolution in the Church, how the change has to begin with us, that we need radical change in our midst before we can change the world. Why isn't it both and? Should we not have opposed slavery in the past? Should we not oppose abortion today? Should we not have opposed segregation? Come on. Being a follower of Jesus is quite comprehensive in what's required.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, let me encourage you to go to townhall.com and read my latest column. It'll be on the homepage through midnight tonight, Eastern Standard Time, so you've got plenty of time to read it, and then just search for my name there. You can read it. It'll be archived as long as it's online, as long as the internet is working. Townhall.com, the article, "The Big Charlotte Rally the Democrats Shunned." Tell you more about Charlotte 714 and some strong concerns of changes in the Democratic National Platform. Do you know that God has been removed from the platform? It's another story entirely. 866-34-TRUTH. We are playing excerpts from my debate with gay activist Wayne Besson. To listen to the entire debate, actually watch it on YouTube, go to askdrbrown.org. And click on the Line of Fire for today's broadcast, and you'll see a link where you can watch this on YouTube. I'd encourage you to get involved in the comments there, but I just want to warn you, sometimes there can be really vulgar, ugly comments that are, I skip over them. I don't find them right to read, and just want to warn you that it's not a Christian environment. Say, you're being so prissy. I'm just telling you to be prepared. A lot of us work in all kinds of environments that are anything but Christian, and we're around all kinds of talk, and I'm just telling you to be prepared if you go there. And then if you get upset with some of the comments, step back and ask yourself, okay, what's the right way to respond? What's the way that would glorify the Lord and would convey truth to those who differ, especially when they see us through certain eyes, and in their sincerity and passion, they see us as dangerous? How do we overcome that? 866-34 For truth, right? We'll play another clip in a little while, but I want to go back to the phones. Taylor in Suffolk County on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Praise the Lord. Hello?
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, yes. I just want to say this is just not a statement against you. This is end-time biblical prophecy that we're dealing with. The Bible says that people are going to love evil. Those that are lost, that do not have the Spirit of God, that are blind, they're going to love evil and shun good. And we're not going to compromise and accept this attitude that you can marry who you want to, because God's word supersedes what any flesh said. And God says if we don't warn the people, we are at fault. When we see something, we're to rebuke and exhort it and cast down imaginations that are contrary to God's word and bring it unto obedience to Jesus Christ. So I don't feel in any way. All I have to say is Romans 1 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because these, you know, carnal Christians in these last days, you know, false prophets and all these things are going on. But we're to love each other. We love the people, but we don't love the sin. And God does not tolerate sin. And this is a spirit that is on them, the spirit of the Antichrist. We're in the spiritual warfare, and the Christians know the end results of sin. And we're just going to stand up and be obedient to Christ. And there's no excuse for sin, and we're not going to accept that. And people are saying, well, we were born that way. You were not made that way. You were made perfect in God's image, and this evil spirit influenced them. But we overcome those desires by our faith and trust and hope in Jesus Christ.
All right, hey, thank you. Thank you, Taylor, for the call. I appreciate that. I want to just say a few things in response. When someone says, I was born this way, I believe that's how they feel. I believe that from their earliest memories of sexuality, from their earliest memories of attraction, even at very young ages, they felt attracted to the same sex. I don't doubt when they say that. Now, I don't believe that God makes someone homosexual. I don't believe that people are born gay, and I say that primarily based on scientific evidence that I've read extensively. If it was possible that someone was born gay, that would not throw me in any way, because I believe the entire human race is fallen, and that all of us are broken in one way or another, that all of us have needs, that all of us are not whole outside of God's mercy in our lives. And Jesus said, you must be born again, born from above, born anew. And therefore, all of us have to make a new start in God. And God's ultimate goal for us is not heterosexuality, it's holiness. It's turning away from all sin and living lives that please Him. But I'm quite sure that His design for humanity is heterosexual as opposed to homosexual, and that God does have a better way than homosexuality. If you consider that hateful, fine. There's not a hateful bone in my body towards you as I say those words. And I don't personally use the saying, love the sinner, hate the sin, because if you're a gay person listening, you'll say that means hate me, because you identify as this is who you are. So I simply say, God has a better way, but the focus is not on your sexuality. The focus is on coming into a relationship with God, having your sins forgiven through Jesus, getting to know God personally, and then living a life of purity and holiness. And by God's grace, it's possible that your desires and orientation may change. That's what happened to my late brother-in-law. That's what happened to some other friends that I have. And I know others have struggled for years without change, but they're determined not to yield to what they feel is wrong in God's sight. And I think we should honor those people rather than condemn them. As for the comment that gay people have the spirit of Antichrist in them, that was the opinion of our caller. That was not my statement, nor was that my opinion, nor have I ever said anything resembling anything near that. You say, but you know, your show, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, isn't that going to incite violence? Well, never has. And we always explain the type of revolution we're talking about, moral, cultural, spiritual. What's revolution? Radical, dramatic, sweeping change. We explain that's what Jesus came to bring. I wrote a whole book called Revolution, the Call of the Holy War, where I explain that what we're dealing with is not violence against people, any people. In fact, in the Revolution book, I think homosexuality is mentioned once. I wrote it in 2000 when this was not even a major focus of my life in ministry. We make clear that the Jesus way is very revolutionary. It's bless those who curse you. It's pray for those who persecute you. It's take up your cross and put down your sword. Jesus is our example. He didn't go smiting people and killing people. He said, turn the other cheek and lay down your life for those that differ with. No greater love has a man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. That's our example. So, yeah, the call of Jesus is revolutionary and radical. And it's absolutely against the violence and intimidation of hatred and hatred of the world. And Jesus himself gives us very radical calling in Scripture to just follow him. Does not just mean add some little lovely Sunday morning religious service to your life. No, it means radical, dramatic change. That's why Paul wrote, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That, friends, is revolutionary. All right, we're going to come back and play the last clip from Wayne Beston and then some off-the-air interaction that continued that we were recording it on our end. We were able to capture that, so I want you to hear that as well. 866-34-TRUTH to join us on the broadcast. Friends, if you have not yet ordered the wonderful, extremely helpful book by William Lane Craig to help you answer the toughest questions of the faith, called On Guard, From the Existence of God to the Problem of Suffering to the Historicity of Jesus and His Resurrection, it's a wonderful book. We have that together with the one-hour interview I did with Dr. Craig yesterday. Just $22, postage paid. Trust me, we don't make money on this. It's a way to get a resource out to you and stay in touch with you and equip you. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm going to play an excerpt from a debate I had last week with gay activist Wayne Besson, who has said of yours truly that I am a pathological monster whose game is to try inciting followers to possible violence against LGBT people while innocently maintaining that he loves homosexuals and simply wants them to meet his militant and perverted version of God. He calls me a slick dude, a sick and cynical person, someone with a messiah complex who is a diabolical individual who aims to manipulate impressionable followers to launch some sort of holy war, knowing, however, that I'm too much of a coward to start the war myself. He even confesses, I do strongly believe to my core that Brown's ultimate goal is to create the conditions for a nasty physical clash. Quote, the madman fully understands that he only has to create a hostile climate to inflame the most unstable of his thugs, and they will eventually provoke the type of confrontation that this pathological monster deeply desires. Hey, friends, let's really commit to pray for Wayne, for the opening of his eyes, for the love of God to flood his heart the same way our hearts were flooded, and to think of the foolish and wrong things we said before we knew the Lord. I've got a question for you before we go to the last audio clip of the debate. We've saved it for this half hour. I've got a question for you, 866-348-7884. If you've listened to me over the years, if you've read my books, if you read A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you read my Revolution book, if you regularly read articles that I write, and in particular, if you've listened to the radio broadcast for a period of time, or if you studied with me in my school, what attitude do you have towards gay and lesbian people as a result of listening to me? And is there anything you've ever heard that would give you any hint, any fear, any concern, any suspicion that my agenda is to stir up a physical clash, a nasty physical clash, or to incite violence against the homosexual community? 866-34-TRUTH. I am wide open to your call. I'm not just putting on select people to try to make me sound good. Here is the last clip. We've gone back and forth on the David Pakman Show. You can listen to the entire debate, actually watch it on YouTube by going to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and you will see the link right there to watch on YouTube. Here is the closing segment now after I've responded to Wayne's charges. This is what he has to say.
Wayne, a chance to respond here.
Sure thing.
Michael, you're just dishonest, and you keep saying things are out of context, but they're not. In fact, they're very much in context. What you do is, again, cowardly because you incite people. Nothing you said was damaging, but the way you promoted this thing was completely by scaring people and telling them that they want to stop gay activism is what you did. And then you went there, and people said they were intimidated, that they weren't just drinking your water. When you surround, as you said you were going to do, 500 people many of these people have been the pride, have already been victims of religious persecution. They go there to feel good about themselves, and you go there with an enormous number of people in red shirts, like an uninvited, obnoxious house guest that won't leave, to intimidate and incite. And people said they felt intimidated. So I don't know what you're talking about. And you're selectively cutting out how people actually felt about your presence there. You weren't wanted. Yeah, you want, that's your right to do that. But don't get me wrong. It's rude. It's obnoxious. It's unchristian.
You can call it rude.
Gentlemen, I know that there's plenty much more to say, and I know it's unlikely we're going to be able to resolve all of these issues. I think it's great that you both appeared here. Comments were made indirectly. Now we have at least gotten both of you here. I'm glad to have a longer conversation when we have more time, and of course I would encourage both of you to have that longer conversation as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Michael Brown, also Wayne Besson from Truth Wins Out. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. All right, so you heard what Wayne had to say, what he felt in terms of what we've done, what I've written, what I've said, our tactics, our approach. What have you gotten from listening to me on a regular basis? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to come back to your calls, and I'm going to systematically respond to a number of charges I didn't have ample time to do on the air, and then just play the final interaction that took place between us. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world, moral, cultural issues. And over the last hour and a half, we've been playing different clips from my debate last week on the David Pakman Show about is Wayne Besson, a gay activist, inciting violence or potentially stirring people to be inflammatory through what he's written about me? Am I guilty of stirring up violence or being inflammatory about what I say about the gay and lesbian community? David Pakman, I would assume, is solidly on Wayne Besson's side, but was a very fair moderator in this. And my question to you, if you've listened to me for a while, what are you hearing from me? What are you getting from me? Are you becoming angry towards the gay and lesbian community? Are you feeling that we're going to plot some act of violence or that's my goal to stir that up? Tell me honestly. I know lots of folks listen to me that agree with me and others listen that don't. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. I was going to play the final clip that was actually off the air where Wayne and I continued to interact, but I don't know that he assumed that we were still being recorded. So in fairness to Wayne, I'm not going to play that. Not that he said anything incriminating, but I continued to press, let's sit down together. I will fly out to where you are and have a meal with you. You can come on my radio show. Let's have a public debate or dialogue. That continues to be my posture with Wayne, for whom I pray and of whom I can assure you doesn't want my prayers. Nonetheless, he'll have them. All right, before I systematically go through some of the charges he raised, let me take one call. Jennifer in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you. You have helped me a lot on just the homosexual agenda, how to approach it, but it's also helped me to talk with my teenagers, who actually can be a little bit more gruff in what they say, how we're going to approach people in our lives that are homosexual. And I've never heard you at all being unkind or mean.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jennifer. And I'm glad it's helped you in interacting with your kids as well. Can you just tell me how old your kids are?
My kids are 12, 15, and 17.
All right, and what's their general perception on these issues outside of your influence and involvement with them?
Well, for instance, when a music teacher came out, I wasn't really surprised, but the music teacher came out and announced he was going to be going to D.C. to marry his partner, and, you know, one reaction was, that's it, no more music lessons. I'm like, wait a minute, and, you know, we got to talk about this person in our life and our influence in his life. Anyway, and that went forward well. And also, as the kids are older, some of the kids that they grew up with are coming out and being homosexual. What does that look like? How are we going to walk through it? So sometimes it's discussed and run the other way, but then they're stopping and they're listening to me. But honestly, without your show, I wouldn't have had a whole lot of backbone or good, I don't know, I wouldn't have done as well as maybe I thought I would. I probably would have thought that I would do well, but I would.
Hey, well, Jennifer, that's really meaningful to me. I appreciate your involvement in your kids' lives, and it's a blessing to hear that. Thanks for the call, Jennifer. 866-34-TRUTH. So please, just hear this from me. Just hear this from me. Here's a woman, as a result of listening to the program, says that when kids' music teacher comes out and says, I'm gay and I'm going to D.C. to marry my partner, and the kids think, okay, that's it with the music lessons. Obviously, they're not keen on that. I think it's fine to say that's wrong. A man shouldn't marry a man, or a woman shouldn't marry a woman. That's wrong. Or if you find out, you know, a girl in your class, you're a girl and she's attracted to you, it's fine to say that's wrong. I don't like that. So what happens? The mom, as a result of listening to the show, says, no, we're not just going to do that. We're not just going to cut this person off and say no more music lessons because you've come out as gay and you're marrying your partner. Hey, my first organ teacher when I was 5.5 years old was openly gay and would come to our house with his partner. And they would often stay for dinner with us. That's the environment I grew up in as a kid. And then the second organ teacher we had was a black man married to a white woman. And I'm not comparing the two situations. I'm simply saying there was social ostracization for both of them. And of course, gay activists would absolutely compare those two. But that's the environment I grew up in. and the fact that I'm a follower of Jesus doesn't mean I change my love for other people. No, it only deepens in the midst of our differences. All right, so let me begin to deal just a little bit more length than I was able to do on the air with some of the things that were raised. Again, the idea that having a broadcast called The Line of Fire means that we're militaristic. Was William Buckley's firing line, his TV show, militaristic? That we have a school called FIRE, School of Ministry. FIRE is in burning, red hot fire, passion for God. That's also an acronym for Fellowship for International Revival and Evangelism. That means we're militaristic. Yeah, we have a motto, which says that we want to raise up a group of radicals to follow Jesus by life or by death. Absolutely. Yes. And to impact the nations with the gospel. Yes. And look, I go to India every year, my 19th year. In the last couple of years, some of the workers, the Indian workers that have been sent out into tribal regions have been killed, one by Hindu militants and another by Naxalites, radical Maoist communists. And we've prayed for the widows. This is real life with the gospel. This happens. A young man very close to us was killed by Muslim terrorists not that long ago as he was doing humanitarian work as a Christian in the midst of a Muslim society. He knew his life was at risk. This is the reality. That's what we talk about. And Jesus calls us to follow him by life or by death. That's laying down your life for others. That's saying, no matter what, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yeah, but your online magazine, Voice of Revolution. Yes, Jesus Revolution. Jesus radically changing us, and we go and radically change the world. How? By his principles, friends. Oh, you're a coward. You won't just come out. Friends, I'm telling you exactly what I believe. I'm putting it on the table. Read my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War. Read it from cover to cover. Read all the statements about the nonviolent principles of Jesus. Hey, Mel White, well-known gay activist, is calling for revolution. He's using all that kind of language. Well, what does it mean? Well, you have to read it in context. You have to read it in context. Is he calling for an armed resistance, or is he saying follow the principles of Jesus? We obviously differ greatly in terms of where Jesus stands on homosexuality, but we agree that his principles are nonviolent. What about Lou Engle going to Uganda to support the gay rights bill? Wayne put a clip of Lou up on his website with Lou encouraging the churches there to take their stand. Correct. He did not go there to support the bill. I was closely involved with him because he really wrestled with the question of whether to go or not. He had a previous event, the Call Uganda, which is a prayer gathering as he's done in different nations and all over America. He had a previous event scheduled long before he had any knowledge of this Uganda bill whatsoever. He considered canceling the event or not going over because of the controversy he'd be surrounded in. But he felt, number one, it was right to go anyway. And number two, he made plain his being there would not be political. You say, what about that clip? He's simply encouraging the churches to stand for what they believe is right. He's not encouraging violence against homosexuals, and he's not mentioning the bill. What happened was there is so much intimidation against the people of Uganda. Of course, the bill needed to be changed, as written. I'm on record for saying that immediately in a gay newspaper here in Charlotte. When I was asked about it, I immediately gave a comment. Lou never supported putting homosexual men and women to death. He simply encouraged the churches to stand up for what was right and not to bow down to the tremendous pressure they were under. He did not go there to support the bill. And I know Lou well, and I know the times we've prayed together. Hey, the idea that we were going to, quote, surround the event in 2009. Yeah, we had people. We had on one corner several hundred of us that gathered together and spent the day praying and fasting and asking God to forgive us for our sins and praying for the homosexual community. All right? And then we had people, like a handful of people, on different corners playing guitar and worshiping, all right? You wouldn't have even run into them if you were in the event. Like three people here, and then 200 feet or 400 feet down the block, two people there. In other words, we're spiritually surrounding it with prayer. That's what we said. Come in there with the red shirts. And then we walked through peacefully. That's what we did. We interacted with some people. That was it. Don't we have a right to be there? You're unwelcome. Okay, fine. People didn't want us there. It's in a public place. We have the right to be there and to walk through with our shirts saying God has a better way. I don't have to defend that. Well, you're unwelcome. So folks didn't want us there. Some of us didn't want a gay pride event in the city. What does that have to do with inciting violence? What does that have to do with trying to stir up a nasty physical clash? Those are the words that are dangerous. I want to say again, I in no way am saying that Wayne Besson had any role whatsoever in provoking the shooting at the Family Research Council a few weeks back. I've said that publicly. I've said that plainly. I am saying that the type of rhetoric that says that we are out to incite people to violence, that is inflammatory and hurtful. Yes, we have our differences, but I'm going to have my differences with you in a Christian way. And if you claim to be a civil person, you'll have yours with me in a civil way. We can do better than the anger and the hatred. I know it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast. Before I go to the phones, the end of one of my segments in this debate with Wayne Besson, I said, if I was not a public figure, what you've written would be libelous. I am a public figure, so it's not libelous, as far as I understand. He responded by saying, go ahead, sue me. Calling me a liar and saying, go ahead, sue me. I didn't say I was going to sue. I had no intention, thought hadn't crossed my mind. I said if I was not a public figure, the statements would be libelous. It's true. It's correct. Anyway, before I go to the phones, when we talk about Jesus' revolution, when we talk about Jesus changing us and then we, through his principles and ways, go and change our world, it really happens one at a time. There's so much focus on the presidential elections. They're important, but ultimately, the question is, how do we live? There's a movie I saw over the weekend. I was giving an advanced screen copy. It opens September 14th. Jot this down. It's called Last Ounce of Courage. September 14th. This is not some trillion-dollar produced high-tech wizardry type of movie. This is Where We Live kind of movie with characters who are just like average people in America, teenagers, older folks, who say, we've got to make a difference. Things are going the wrong way in our society. By the way, nothing to do with homosexuality, nothing to do with those issues we've been talking about, but just the larger direction of America, what's happening in our world today, and how freedoms of faith are being taken away from us, and people lay down their lives for freedom in America, and these things are just being surrendered. What everybody can do, just one at a time, one person at a time. So I encourage you, take your whole family. I had to watch it first before I could say anything about it. Take your whole family, September 14th, Last Ounce of Courage. Surprise ending, too. All right, to the phones. Janet in Charlotte, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How
are you? Hey, Janet, can I get you to speak up? I can barely hear you.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good. I wanted to state that I was a part of the march, and everything was peaceful. Some of the gay and lesbian people came up to us and thanked us for coming and not having a rowdy demonstration. So, and I would not have been a part of it if it was rowdy on our end, because that's just not me. So I don't know what this guy is talking about, because everything, you know, was peaceful, and it always has been. So
you were there, Janet. You were there in 2011, last year?
Right. Our church was a part of it as well to support you. We wore the red shirt. I still have my shirt, and I still wear it. So
yeah, same here. So Janet, just to be clear, I've read reports from other activists who were there that said not a single person wanted us there, not a single person was happy with our presence. We intimidated them. I'm sure some felt like that. But you're saying that some people came up to you from the gay and lesbian community to thank you for the manner in which you did what you did?
Yeah, they did. And I was surprised, because I thought that there was going to be violence, not on our end, but towards us. The only negative comment that were said was, don't drink the water.
we were giving out bottles of water that said Jesus loves you on it, right? So they were just saying don't drink our water.
Right, and that was it. Other than that, those were the only negative comments I heard. And we walked up and down the entire demonstration. And one of the company that I used to work for, and the one I'm currently work for, they were there as well. So, as I stated, there was no violence, nothing negative on our end. Everything was peaceful. We ministered to a lot of people, and they stood there and listened.
Neat. Well, Janet, I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact you wouldn't have participated at all if our approach was rowdy or angry or hateful or God forbid, violent. And look, like I said, there can be crazies on any side. There can be crazies that go to church. There can be crazies that go to a gay pride event. There can be crazies in the synagogue, in the mosque. There can be crazies who are atheists. But I'm convinced that the vast, vast majority of those on both sides of these issues want to peacefully be friends and neighbors in the midst of the differences. And we'd much rather reach out and have a meal together than have to have a confrontation in the government over a major social issue. Of course, we have to stand. Both sides are going to stand where they believe they should. But Janet, thanks for the call, and let's continue to reach out with the love of God and stand there for what's right. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
God bless you. All right, time for one more call. Duke in Tampa, Florida. We're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Duke.
First of all, I don't ever call in, but I felt impelled to just give you a call and encourage you, because I've listened to you every day. I drive around all day for my job, and I listen to you all the time. I never hear you step out of line. I can discern by the power of the Holy Spirit that you're doing what you're called to do. And, of course, if you're really serving God, you're going to get thrown into the fiery pit. And you're going to get thrown into the lion's den. Don't let this bother you. Just keep doing what you're doing. Know that you've got people praying for you. We're standing behind you. The Line of Fire. It's a great name for your show, because it's stirring up people out there to make them think. And the ones that are doing wrong, the first thing that guilt does to you is it makes you lash out. It can happen at home as well as on the radio. So just keep doing what you're doing. You're not stepping out of line. I listen to you all the time. You're right on track. And just God bless you.
Hey Duke, I appreciate the call. I love hearing from folks that drive all the time and get to listen often to the entire show. So thanks for listening there in Tampa, Duke. And I just want to say this: I have absolutely no concern on my end if I get maligned. Of course, I'm going to get maligned. People think what I'm doing is evil. If you believe that homosexuality and heterosexuality are just different variations of sexuality, not one better than the other, or if you believe this is how God made people or whatever, and you see me opposed to that, yeah, you can look at me as being evil. I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned about people writing things. I'm not concerned about violence towards me. I'm saying that there's rhetoric that can be used in a way that is so inflammatory and false and destructive that it hurts our ability to be fellow citizens in the midst of our differences. And of course, we'll keep standing for what's right, Duke. But thank you so much for the words of encouragement. Thanks for being a listener. Friends, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you'll see today the very first comment. I've put up the link to the YouTube debate where you can watch my interaction with David Pakman. Also, as soon as this broadcast is online, it'll be a couple hours from now, listen to all of it, listen to the clips, listen to our interaction, listen to the callers, and be blessed and be strengthened. And let's pray for Wayne Besson. I know he'll not take that kindly and make it as if we're demeaning him. But hey, friends, I welcome all the prayer I can get. Let's pray for Wayne that the love and goodness of God would flood his heart in a way beyond anything he's known, that he'd know who Jesus really is. All right, out of time, but be sure to go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore to take advantage of the special offer with Dr. William Lane Craig's wonderful apologetics book that will equip you, and the CD from yesterday's broadcast, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, the more that we're opposed, the more that we're maligned, the more that we're misrepresented, the more that we're misunderstood, the more that we should be committed to do what's right and honor the Lord.